Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson, and once again, I want to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotic, the podcast where I explore the intoxicating powers of love, relationships, and sex, all from my perspective. I invite you to experience the journey with me as I try to awaken your innermost thoughts. My topic for tonight, I'm a trophy husband with three wives, and they all work while I stay at home. Also, my question tonight, why do others want to date you once you found love? So please do me a favor, go ahead and sit back, relax, chill, do whatever it is that you do, and I'll be right back with my question tonight. All right, so my question tonight is, what is it when it comes to you finding love and being happy that someone who you may have wanted to get with or may have been with and they wasn't ready to marry you or to be with you, once you get into another relationship that doesn't involve them? What is that all about? So I want to talk about that. I think love doesn't come with a single answer. You know what I'm saying? Love is very confusing. Relationships, the heart is involved, and you know, it's just a whole bag of mixed emotions. But it does often bring the same question. And one of these questions that has always been a mystery to me is, once I get ready to, you know, break away from you and not deal with you, why is it that when I find happiness with someone else, you want to destroy it? Or you can't handle it and you try to come and confess your love and tell me that I'm everything for you and we can work this out. But when I was chasing you, it was like you had your career, you had the kids, and whatever else you had going on. So now that I made a choice not to be a part of that and found someone who can give me everything I want and more, you want to come and fuck that up. What the fuck? Why can't you accept the fact that I've moved on? Why is it that people just feel like they have to control every situation, even if it means you being unhappy? And to me, it's all about selfishness. It's all about not wanting to lose. Because I've been on both sides of that fence. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say I didn't do the same thing, because I did. One person in particular who I didn't do it with was my ex-wife. And the reason I didn't, because I saw that she had enough of me. And she found happiness with someone else. And as much as I loved her back then, I had to let her go. I had to let someone else give her what it was that I was unable to do. And it was hard. It was hard. I would go home and dude and her and dude would just be happy. I'm like, ugh. He getting the happiness I'm supposed to get, you know what I'm saying? But I had to accept my L. I had to accept my loss and move out the way for another man to do what it was that she needed done. And it took a while for me to get past it, but once I, you know, start going to the club and meeting other women up in Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? It was like, okay, that part of my life is, that chapter is closed. So now it's time to embark on something different. That's what I did. But a lot of people don't get to that point. They don't get to a point where they accept the fact that someone is happy without them. They want someone to be in a miserable and dysfunctional relationship that's not going to work just because they want to feel good about themselves. That's some old selfish bullshit. And you see it countless times. I know people now who still, you know, salty about the fact that their woman done found somebody else. Done been with somebody else for 13, 14, 15, almost 20 years. And they still can't get past it. Now, they're doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, they with whoever they with. But because their wives or ex-girlfriend done moved on and found true happiness, unable to give it up. Unable to salute the fact that someone else can make that person happy. Why is it when one person finds love, everyone around them suddenly wants to date them? At first glance, the answer seemed obvious. After all, who wouldn't want to be in such a perfect romance? But there's deeper motivations at work here. When someone is desirable, we're naturally curious about what makes them so attractive and irresistible. Had you been on your job, had you been doing what the fuck you need to do, you would have known what it was about that person that made them irresistible and charming and all that other good stuff when you was with them. They had the same qualities, you just didn't pay attention to them. Because you're trying to pay attention to someone else's qualities or listen to what someone else was telling you, and you forgot about the person that you're with and been grinding with, who's been there with you, has those same qualities. And probably showed them every day. You just was blind to the fact that they have them. Love is contagious. It has that effect that just lingers long after out of sight. And that kind of like happened with me with my ex-wife. Even though we didn't see each other, I still had a love for her. Because she was the first one who taught me how to balance a checkbook. I mean, she taught me a lot. So, during those times when I first got to Atlanta and I was struggling, it was like, I wanted to call her and say, hey, what do I do, or blah, blah, blah. But I had to stand on mine. You know what I'm saying? And some of my pride got in the way. But also I realized that she probably didn't want to hear from me. You know what I'm saying? So I had to just totally break that bond, you know, outside about the children. But when it's out of sight, you know, it bothers you. Because you've had something so good and so right there at your, you know, disposal. You misused it and now it's gone. And it's like, you're lost in the world, especially when you have someone who's been doing all the, you know, as far as paying bills and shopping, and now you have to take on those roles because you're a single man living in Atlanta, and yeah, you might be meeting women who want to get with you, but I couldn't get with just every woman. I couldn't just put my money or my time and effort into every pretty face I saw in the club. So I had to pick and choose my next girlfriend or my next wife-to-be because I didn't want to go through what I had just went through. Years of being together with someone and then losing that because of some knucklehead shit, you know what I'm saying? So once it's out of sight, once it's gone, it's like, oh my God, I'm struggling, you know what I'm saying? Mentally, physically, and emotionally, I'm struggling to get through life because I had someone with me. A common trend that's been observed in relationships from the moment of connection to ongoing process of communication. When one person is taken by another, they find a sense of security, often leading them to become more desirable in other people's eyes. This feeling of being taken can be intoxicating and draw attention from admirers. Another explanation could be that when someone dedicates themselves to a relationship, it makes them appear to be more reliable and dependable. Qualities that can be attractive for a potential partner. Seeing a committed and loving couple together might subconsciously influence others' desires for commitment and monogamy. The mystery behind others still wanting to date you when someone has taken your heart may never be solved. However, understanding these trends can help create insight into complexity of our charming yet enigmatic love lives. When we explore what makes you attracted to others, we have to look at the whole, you know, scope of the person. You have to make sure, well, not make sure, you have to understand that there are I would say well-defined. And what I mean by that, someone who's intelligent, who's creative, who's spontaneous, who's loyal, who's uplifting, who brings something to the table other than good loving, who's responsible, who's trustworthy, all those things come into mind when I look at someone and I, you know, size them up to see if they're going to be someone I want to get to know. It's not, at first it used to be all about the physical. But as I got older and, you know, started dating, I just realized that, you know, there's a whole lot more to a person than what they look like or what they can do for you intimately. So you have to explore the different things that makes a person attractive. And I think one of the ones that sticks out, the quality that sticks out to me is confidence. When I see a confident woman, that's a major turn. Because confidence is attractive. Confidence gives people a sense that they know who they are. And where they're headed and their direction in life. And it speaks of enthusiasm. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're confident, then you have a certain joy about yourself. You have a certain vibe, how you move. And it's always in a positive direction. You never see confident people or people who are in their moment going through a whole lot of ups and downs. When they've gotten to a point where everything is right in their life, and they had some sort of peace within themselves, then that's more attractive to anybody who wants to date them or who may have had them and see that they're dating or talking to other people. You want to get back into that circle, you know what I'm saying? Because you're not going to go back from the bottom to the top. You're going to have to work your way. Even if they don't give you an opportunity, they may let you fall into the rotation just to fuck with you or to see if you can bring something to the table other than what you had going on that made you break up or separate. But if you don't, then you're just wasting time. That person's not even thinking about you. They're moving towards the next person who may bring something that's going to help them in their lives and make them continue to feel fulfilled. Analyzing how connecting with others can help solve the mystery. It's an age-old mystery. Why do others want to date you when you finally find love? It's important to look at the power of the human connection. There's a human connection that exists between happy people. And it's a certain glow, a certain aura that they have. We often think of relationships as an individual journey. But they can't be, because in a relationship, you have two people, or in some cases, three, four, five. But in what I consider the normal relationship is a man and a woman. Two people. Now, I'm not knocking anybody who have a different type of get down. I'm just talking about me, J.R. Robinson, how I see what a relationship is. Two people come together, building on the connection, enjoying that connection, and sustaining that connection. We often think of our relationships as an individual journey, but they're also a part of a large network that can help guide us in life. Connecting with those around us can open doors to new opportunities and explore us to different perspectives. We may never be able to answer the question as to why others desire you when you find love, but by discovering the strength of human connection, we can make sure that we always are ready to take on whatever comes next. To wrap this up, though we may never have a single answer to the mysterious question of why others want to date you while you're with someone else, one thing is for certain: understand ourselves and connecting emotionally with others can provide invaluable insight into this phenomenon. Through self-reflection, honest communication, and compassion for others, our potential partners, we can better understand the underlying motivation behind the fascinating mystery. And on that note, I'll be right back with my topic of the night. All right, so my topic of tonight. First, let me say I had a topic already written up that I want to talk about. Woke up this morning and found this article in the New York Post and had to talk about it. I think this is the third or fourth topic that I've done like this, where I, you know, quote the source, the New York Post, and tell the story. Very interesting. Extremely interesting. Now, I don't condone this behavior that I'm about to read, but I understand. Let me go ahead and put that out there. And as I begin to, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read it, then I'm going to come back and I'm going to give my perspective. I'm a trophy husband with three wives. They work while I stay at home. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. God, man, I saw this. Now, I've seen and heard, I think I've had a podcast about polygamy, you know, polyamorous relationships. And I worked with a guy, I worked with a couple of guys who was in those type of relationships. They had two women. And they would just talk about how beautiful it was, how each woman understood their role, and he was happy. All he did was come to work. They stayed at home. One worked online. Other one, you know, took care of the kids. And he said it ran smoothly. Saw him at a function one time, and all three of them just seemed to fit well together. There was a little envy, I ain't gonna lie, you know, because the chick I was with was one of the most, I can't believe he fucking both of them, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, shit. What I wouldn't do to trade your ass for one of them, you know what I'm saying? But it worked, and I don't know if they still together, because I hadn't talked to him in years. The last time I heard, they were still together, so I don't know if they're together as of this date right here. But this story right here, let me go ahead and read it. I'm a trophy husband with three wives. They work while I stay at home. A man who calls himself a trophy husband has revealed that not only does he have three wives, but he doesn't work. Comparing his role in the polyamorous family to that on a chessboard, dad of two, Nick Davis, said he doesn't have a job because the king, listen to this, y'all. The king doesn't move around much while the queen has all the power. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Because I'm a person who plays chess. I love chess. And when I read that earlier, it just made sense. It was one of those sayings that I've never thought of. But when I saw it, it made so much sense to me. Because the queen doesn't do the work. I mean, she does the hard work. The king, he comes and he does just enough to neutralize or to conquer and go on by his way. Get back in his spot. Whereas the queen runs the whole fucking board. If that's the analogy of the year for me. If I ever pull three women, I'm going to have to hit them with that one. Yo, I'm the king. Y'all the queens. We like a chess boy. I need y'all to play chess so you understand your role as my queen. Meanwhile, his three wives, April, Danielle, and Jennifer, all have full-time professions. Nick met his first wife, April, at a university 15 years before they welcomed Jennifer into their marriage 9 years later. It's nice to have helping hands with my husband, says April. While it may sound unusual, 38-year-old April says she's happy with having extra women in the relationship to meet Nick's needs. Nick's a lot to handle, let's just say that. In a lot of ways, Nick's a lot to handle in the bed, she told TLC Seeking Sisters Wife Program. Nick's a lot to handle in general with his personality. It's nice to be able to have helping hands. In fact, it was actually April who introduced the 39-year-old husband to 25-year-old Jennifer, who was 19 at the time, thinking he would be a good fit for their family. It just became evident it just became evidence to me that she was a great person, and there was a high intellect in that big brain of hers, and I knew that Nick would find her attractive, April shared. Nick explained that he likes to be snuggled up in the middle of his wives at night, but that sex always occur in a different area of the home with each wife. God damn, boy. When the polyamorous family appeared on Seeking Sister's Wives last year, they welcomed 22-year-old Danielle into their family. In a wedding ceremony with the other two wives by his side, Nick said he was living the dream as he committed to Danielle. Having three wives, knowing that we're all solidified our union and brought it together like we have, is just unbelievable. I just feel like I'm just living a dream. I just feel like I'm just living a dream come true, he said. Honestly, I didn't ever think I could be this happy, Danielle added. I didn't think happiness like this existed until I found love like this. And now the Davis family have grown even more after Jennifer welcomed their first child together, Vera, in June of last year. Nick also have an older teenage son from a previous relationship. So, now, like I said, I don't condone it. At this point in my life, I don't think I'll ever do it. But I understand. Here's a man, the three women who are on board with the type of relationship that most men dream of. He has three women who don't have a problem with him being a stay-at-home dad and taking care of them in separate rooms. He don't have to have sex with everybody looking. He could be like, yo, Danielle, come on in here, or I'm going into April's room, or Jennifer, it's your night. Now, I don't condone it, but I fucking understand it. Now, you may say if you don't condone it and you understand it, you do condone it. No. It's one of those things, I wasn't raised with that mentality. Even though I have cheated, even though I have been propositioned for a threesome, I've never done it. That's the one thing on my bucket list that won't get fulfilled. Because at this point in my life, I can barely handle one. So I ain't even trying to go and add another woman into, you know, any type of situation I'm in. That's just too much. But for this brother, Nick, and even though he's a little older, 38, he's living the dream. He don't have to work. He got three women that love him, and they working. They ain't arguing. They ain't telling he ain't shit. They not, you know, refusing to cook his food. They not refusing to give him some type of loving. Because if one person ain't feeling, guess what? Nick going to the next room. If one person don't want to cook, guess what? Nick can say, hey, can you make me a sandwich? I don't condone it, but I understand it. There are men who have to fight daily with their woman about a sandwich, about some attention, about being affectionate. And these men work, got great jobs, great profession. We're talking about doctors, lawyers, policemen, service members. We're talking about dentists. We're talking about every profession. There are men who go through encounters with one woman. Who's bringing home the money. Who got them in a nice home. Who's paying for their wigs and their nails done. But because they got an attitude, or because they feel entitled, They don't want to do shit. And I'm not talking about every woman. If this don't apply to you, please don't take this in the wrong way. I'm talking from my perspective. Check it. Understand where I'm coming from. Because when I have these type of conversations, women swear up and down, I'm talking about you. No. Now, if it fits you, then yeah. Ride with it. Wear your crown. But if it doesn't, then just listen to what's being said and kind of like look at it from a different point of view. Nick is the man. I mean, for him to run that, okay, I ain't gonna say game, because both him and his wife agreed to it. So I'm not gonna say it's a game that he's running with three women. They all agreed. They're happy about it. They just had a baby a year ago. The youngest member of the clan who just, you know, who came on last, just had a little girl. So everybody's on board. Everybody understand their role. Everybody accepted their role. And you want to know how they accepted the role? Because he at home. He's at home and don't have to work. All he has to do is provide some TLC. Why they get up every day, being if they're working from home or if they go to a job, they're working. All three of them have professions, as it says in the story. So somebody bring home some money. But you know what? It ain't Nick. Nick ain't doing nothing but serving. Nick's serving. Nick up in that motherfucker serving. Quality. Quality loving. Three women who understand their role, who has accepted their role, and who live by the code. Make my man happy. Now, I can never do it. Back in my heyday prop. And I would have to say, I wouldn't have no children. I would have the mentality of, hey, look, this is what it is. We gonna do this, and for however long we doing it, whatever. But this dude has created, well, with the help of his wife, because you don't want to come across as Nick is forcing these women or the brother is mind controlling. No, him and his wife, she like, you know what? Okay, I'm tired. You too much of a man for me. You always want sex. You know what? Let's add another person to this equation. And you know, that just fucking made Nick feel good. Okay, shit, let's do this. But that ain't enough. Nick wants somebody, well, they want to add somebody younger who has a big brain, someone who's intellectual. So they peeped what type of game she had and brought her into the fold. And guess who happy? Nick. Nick is happy as a motherfucker. Now, I don't condone it, but I understand. And everything that works for someone ain't gonna work for you. You know? And I salute the brother. You know, he's happy. He's staying at home. He got money coming in. He's serving. What else can a man ask for? That's the life. And a lot of men would never know what that life feels like. Because they're having a problem or they're having a hard time dealing with one. And on that note, I'm going to end my podcast. That says a lot to me. That says a whole lot, you know. And salute to that brother. I want to thank everybody for listening to the podcast. Continue to listen. I will try to get back on Wednesday as soon as possible. I'm just kind of grinding a little bit. But, man, thank y'all for listening and supporting. Y'all take care of yourselves. And I'll talk to y'all next week. Peace.